This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks is out today. The Boston Phoenix is about to undergo a significant change. The venerable and edgy weekly alternative paper will be combined, along with Stuff magazine, into a new glossy magazine simply called The Phoenix. Now, for loyal readers, this may be more than a simple format change. The Phoenix Media and Communications Group owns both The Phoenix and Stuff magazine. It also owned WFNX, that is, until financial pressures forced it to sell the station to Clear Channel Communications. That, along with this week's news that the group's two big print publications will now be folded into one, well, it's leading some to wonder if the Phoenix Media Group is on firm financial footing, and if going glossy will dilute the Phoenix's distinct political voice. I put both questions to Stephen Mindich, publisher of the Boston Phoenix, but our conversation started way back with how the Phoenix first formed its alternative voice more than 40 years ago.
It started in 1966 as a four-page arts and entertainment guide for college students. Free, by the way, which back then was unheard of. In fact, anything that was free was looked at as worthless.
And why did you start it as that?
Well, because there was a real understanding that college newspapers in general did a terrible job of covering Boston as a whole.
When back in 1966, when you're thinking...
It was four pages. Now think about that.
Okay.
I mean, it's like... Whatever we thought, I don't know what we were doing. I didn't know anything about what I was doing. Nothing.
But what was the alternative information scene like then? Was there
It wasn't about alternative then. What it really was about was bringing, with excessive egos believed, was real quality reporting and criticism of the art scene.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about. It evolved very quickly. By 1968, because of... the civil rights movement, because of the anti-war movement. By the way, it was called Boston After Dark at that time. That's how it started. But in 1968, late 68 into 68, we started to cover politics and the war movement and the civil rights movement.
I mean, it sounds like you did because you couldn't not cover it.
Well, we couldn't because... We were them. I mean, we were marching. We were vocally anti-war, and that's who our audience was.
There was this surge of political activity all over college campuses. What were you guys in particular writing about?
Let me give you what I think is probably the most controversial cover we ever ran, and that was when Hanoi was bombed. And the cover was Enemy Bombs Hanoi. And of course, we bombed Hanoi. The United States bombed Hanoi. So we said the United States, was the enemy. That gives you a sense. I think if anything tells you what we were about, that describes it.
And what happened after that cover came out? What was the response?
Well, obviously, it was hugely controversial. It got slammed by the mainstream people and, you know, the political people. But, of course, the audience, all of whom were part of this whole movement, loved it. So that's the attitude. So what we were writing, we were constantly writing about how this country had to change. I mean, that was the voice, the political voice, while at the same time developing an enormously successful and high-quality arts and culture coverage. I mean, the history of our alumni are just mind-boggling.
Give me some examples.
How about Janet Maslin, who actually started with us as a rock and roll writer and became a film writer? David Denby of The New Yorker, Sid Blumenthal on the political side, many people at the Boston Globe, just a huge number of great journalists all over the country.
Well, Stephen Mindich, I'm curious because you were telling me a little earlier that when the Phoenix, when it first got started, you guys didn't necessarily want to be alternative. You were just filling a gap.
No, no. There was no such word as alternative.
So when did
alternative didn't really happen.
When did you realize that what you were doing was, or what you wanted to do was basically an alternative to the mainstream press?
Well, you have to go back before the word alternative really existed as a description. The first word was underground. And there were lots of underground papers, the old Mole in Boston and around the country, lots of them. And then at some point, I'm sorry, I don't have the dates in my head, but at one point there was a big spread that ran in the New York Times Magazine called Up from Underground. But you clearly knew, here's the position we're taking. That was different. Mainstream media didn't and doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have columnists. They have a voice. But everything is a column in a way in the Phoenix.
I guess what I'm wondering is how much does that still matter to you and to the people who work at the Phoenix, that what you're doing is not just a response but a real pushback to what is not being done by mainstream media?
If I said anything else other than that is our raison d'etre, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Here's why I'm asking, because you know as well as anybody about this, like, long-term, slow-motion collapse of the newspaper industry that
we've
been
seeing. We're not a newspaper industry, and that is a problem in perception. The general concept is print is dead. Young people don't read newspapers. No, young people don't read print. Well, it's not true. What you find is, really where it is reemerging and there is a resurgence, is with magazines.
So. I'm speaking with Stephen Mindich. He's the publisher of the Boston Phoenix. All right, so we've gotten to what is essentially the big news about the Phoenix. You're turning it into a glossy magazine. Why?
Well, as I just mentioned, there is this resurgence of magazines and readership of hard copy among millennials and our core audience, which is 18 to 35. And what we looked at was, because we have to obviously figure out how to attract more advertising, that as the perception that magazines are strong, advertisers will gravitate more. And we create a really wonderful environment, new environment, for advertisers to come to while maintaining the same voice.
Are you going to put news
stuff
on the cover? Because from what I understand,
we're going to put news on the cover.
Because from what I understand, while magazine readership is going up amongst those millennials, they're not necessarily reading news magazines.
They're not reading news weeklies. They're not reading Newsweek. They're not reading Time. They're not reading news. They're reading things that speak to them for whatever reason it speaks to them.
So here's what I'm wondering. Say I'm standing a couple months from now when the first Phoenix Glossy comes out. I'm standing on Comm Ave picking up my lunch, and there are those magazine kiosks all together.
Big red boxes.
How am I going to tell the difference by look and feel between the Phoenix and, say, Improper Bostonian?
Well, absolutely, because if you look at the cover of each of them, they will be consummately different. There's no new invention here. What there is a tweaking. What there is a sense of dynamics, a sense that this is living and breathing and growing and changing. And that's what you have to do. You can't remain stagnant. And I know in my soul that what we're doing is hugely exciting and is going to be exciting for readers.
So, Stephen Mindich, there's been a lot of changes at the Phoenix Media Group recently. You sold WFNX to Clear Channel for $14
million. $14.5 million.
In this move to consolidate
yeah,
the Phoenix and stuff together in a glossy, which is coming up, if I understand correctly, you also had to let a couple writers go.
Two in the newsroom and five altogether.
So people are starting to wonder, is Phoenix Media Group in dire straits financially?
Well, it's a business, and it has to make money, and in consolidation, there are, because of production, remember, there's one thing being produced and not two separate ones. There's changes in the distribution and the printing. However, at the same time, we're going to be hiring people. But yeah, these are tough times. I won't tell you that they're not.
I got a couple more questions for you. One is about those ads that the Phoenix on newsprint carries.
Those ads.
Basically the adult ads. Are you still going to have them in the glossy?
No. They're actually moving into a separate section. You're the first person. You're the first person to ask the question, and the first person I've answered the question. It's going to have. It's going to be an entirely separate publication. I believe in the adult advertising. I want you to know that this has gotten me into trouble over the years, and you know we support sex slavery and all. It's nonsense. Actually, I'm not saying that there's never a prostitute who advertises. I'm saying that it's freedom of speech, and I believe adults should be able to, as long as they're not doing harm, have whatever kinds of entertainment or what their sexual predilections are available.
So, Stephen Mindich, this is news to me, and it leads me to my last question for you. You know, much earlier, you were saying that the initial sort of attitude and reason for being for what became the Phoenix was that there was this group of people who, in your words, had excessive egos and were able to do high-quality reporting. Now, you fold that
journalism.
In...
High-quality journalism.
Okay, so you fold that into, honestly, the tactile experience of reading the Phoenix on newsprint and knowing that you're going to have those adult ads at the end of every issue.
Actually, that's not true. They were in a separate...
The pull-out section.
So you could pull it out and throw it away.
I guess what I'm getting to is the overall like feel and meaning of what it means to pick up the Phoenix, because now that the adult ads are going to be in a separate publication entirely and the Phoenix is going to be on glossy paper as a magazine, it seems awfully genteel. What's going to happen to that excessive ego, quality reporting, gritty feeling?
I hope you're just baiting me because... I really don't believe you believe anything you just said, that somehow the voice and the tone changes because it's printed on a different kind of paper.
I'm giving you the Phoenix treatment now. How's that?
Well, that's fine. I have given it and I take it, and I've taken it for a long time, and I don't mind. I'm just saying that it will look different. It will feel different. And maybe it'll actually look and feel better than what it is today. Maybe people who say, oh, I don't want to pick up that commie rag or that lefty newspaper, will suddenly pick it up and say, wow, I love what I'm reading in here.
Stephen Mindich is the publisher of the Boston Phoenix. The Phoenix will be turning into a glossy magazine whose first issue is coming out in September.
It'll be late September, yes.
Stephen Mindich, thanks so much. It was a really great pleasure to speak with you.
I loved it. Thank you so much.